Ladies and gentlemen, I welcome you to today's conference call of Lenzing AG. With me is Peter Untersberger, CEO of Lenzing, and Thomas Winkler, CFO. May I introduce myself as new Head of Investor Relations? I have been with Lenzing since 1st October, so whenever you have any questions concerning investor relations, please try to connect me. I will hand over now to Mr. Untersberger. Go ahead, please.
Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to today's conference call regarding Q3 2012 results. I apologize if communication lines are not that great because we are calling today out of Boston, and I'm joined also, of course, as already mentioned by Thomas Winkler. I apologize for my voice, but I have a very strong cough and cold, so but I think we will make it. As normally we do it, we guide you through to the presentation and at the end of the presentation then please questions afterwards. Let me just start with Q3 highlights. I think the most important fact is that Lenzing has delivered the results as promised and also for the sixth consecutive quarter in a row. Let me just summarize. First, EBITDA at 88 million, and that's in the guided range of 85-90 million euro. Second, average fiber price was 195 per kilo. This is, of course, on the lower end of our range of our guided range of $195-$2 per kilo. The reasons why it is 195, we would explain later. Sales volume was at 190,090 tons and reached our guided around 200,000 tons figure. As announced, and please be aware that Thomas also explained to you back in August our tax situation very much in detail. The tax ratio is back to historical levels, the tax rate. A low Q3 tax rate brought our accumulated tax rate down to 22.3%. Already in August, we underlined that our success is anything but to be taken for granted in the current macro economic and industry environment with decreasing average fiber prices. Of course, consequentially, margin pressure. However, and we ask this question more and more ourselves, is this current situation maybe also the perfect storm for the market leader, Lenzing? Because we are not only the market leader in volume, technology and cost, but also in quality. This could be a perfect situation for Lenzing. Let me explain why we think this could be a perfect storm. First, we see low pulp and viscose spot market prices already shook out various announced and also unannounced expansion projects, improving, of course, supply-demand dynamics for the long term. Second, as most of you know and watch today, we have, of course, a buyer's market for cotton with a very high stock-to-use ratio. The current price could lead to, yeah, further lowered cotton production in the harvest season 2013, 2014, as many farmers might turn to crops which have increased dramatically in the last 6 or 12 months, in price, such as wheat, soy, and maize, up to 3-4 times the price for cotton. Third, the majority of viscose producers, Chinese viscose producers make, and we expect that the majority of Chinese competitors to continue to make losses at the current spot market prices, heavy losses. Even if these factors, especially the cotton distortion, prevail over the decelerate the upcoming quarters, we are convinced that our three major long-term trends, and you remember this is the population growth, the income growth and prosperity growth, and particularly the very and more and more pronounced focus on sustainability, and consequentially, the gender gap remain unchanged and will eventually lead to new growth opportunities. Particularly, Lenzing, with its global presence in the leading market and its leading market position, as I mentioned before, will benefit from these megatrends as we are profitable even in difficult and quite volatile market conditions and have, the financial muscle, as Thomas will explain to you later, to invest into the future. And let me summarize page three now, chart three. Let us not forget and keep it in proportion. Despite the lower EBITDA compared to our record year 2011, we are very well on track to deliver the second best year in Lenzing history. And now let me provide you with some further details on the economic development and the key figures, and let's turn to page and slide four. And as China was very helpful the last decade, China was not that helpful in 2012. You all know China, as the world's biggest consumer and also producer market, was not helpful throughout the year in supporting the viscose market, and neither the cotton market. China's GDP reached a three-year low in Q3, meaning a slowdown for seven straight quarters, and I have to admit, which is a longer and even weaker period than we expected. An important and complementing reason is the continuing slow demand, of course, and just seeing now on the CNBC in the morning talking about fiscal cliff in the US and Europe, which could not yet be set off by very strong domestic Chinese general demand, 14% all over the year, tight credit conditions and continued in China, and all actions to improve money supply in the market so far have been rather cosmetic measures only. And of course, over the year, the viscose staple spot market price, and this is a kind of inside information, but you are following that anyway, went down by more than 10%. If we just take, for instance, October 31 price, it stood at 14,220 renminbi compared to 15,850 renminbi at the beginning of the year, and that is exactly 10%. And now let's continue to slide 5, and I don't want to talk about Storm Sandy, but this is another storm. This is a Chinese storm. And let me explain in more detail what I mean with a perfect storm. Because a perfect storm always is implying short-term pain, but could have long-term gain for Lenzing because of our very privileged and global position in this current market environment. Beginning with the market situation, let me re-mention a historically high stock-to-use ratio of more than 65 plus cotton and cotton prices in a range of 80 to 85 cents. Just recently, cotton prices went up 2-3 cents, which should not change anytime soon because of this overhang situation. So in a very, very small range developing. Second, there is also not much help from the macroeconomic side with the continuing debt crisis in Europe and the fiscal cliff concerns in the U.S., as well as the difficult availability of capital as a restricting factor in China, just 5%, where it should be more than 10 to 15. As a result, our competitors have difficulties to cope with the current environment. Several projects were postponed beyond 2013, and particularly to give you also some figures which we have, new pulp supply of up to 700,000 tons and new fiber capacities of up to 400,000 tons are either postponed or just simply will not come. Rather than investing new capacities, we see Chinese competitors steer and manage their business through lowering or increasing their existing capacity.
Hello?
Yeah? Hello? Okay, I continue. Finally, on the cost side, the spot market price for pulp only goes down slowly from the current low level, whereas the carbon disulfide price, you know, the CS2, increases and the caustic soda and energy remain flat. So there is only limited help for a better profitability from the major input cost. All of this, of course, also applies to Lenzing, but Lenzing has much less adverse effect because of its integration or semi-integration cost advantages than most of its competitors, which is very, very important in times like that. And now before I hand over to Thomas, let me summarize on slide 6 to get it into the context. And I think that's very, very important in times like that. As already I said at the beginning, Lansing is very well positioned in the markets and quite profitable. As we all know, 2011 was an outstanding and extraordinary year with an EBITDA of 480 million. And as you also may remember, the market already started to cool down at the end, particularly in the fourth quarter 2011, and hopes for an upturn so far, unfortunately, have not materialized. Supply-demand dynamics of cotton are a kind of reverse mirror picture 2011. We have a supply market for fibers with cotton inventories at a disproportionately high level and continuing pricing pressure. Despite this challenging market environment, please be aware, Lansing is on track for the second best year in its company history. For the full year 2012, we estimate an EBITDA of 350 to 400, being better than the EBITDA of the already excellent year 2010. So, Thomas, please continue.
Thank you, Peter. Good morning from Boston, also from my side. Let me quickly run you through our price volume grid of Q3. On slide 7, that's where I am. You can see that we have sold a record volume of almost 200,000 tons of fiber in Q3, as we already did in Q2. Selling all we produce remains our business model's success factor. However, with €1.95, the average fiber price dropped to below €2, and this for the first time since Q4 of 2010. Looking at the details, I would like to start with the textile fibers on slide 8. What you can see are, one, fairly stable viscose and modal prices, and two, the expected adjustment of our tensile price. We clearly hope that the €2.50 price level of modal leaves maybe another 15 cents of further price reductions, but the price reductions there are very limited. However, from the still very high tensile textile price decrease, you will see that a decrease of another 30 cents seems the way forward to avoid pricing distortions and pricing tensile out of the market, with the consequence of blend ratios being changed to the disadvantage of tensile. Looking at non-woven fiber prices on slide 9, things look much more stable in Q3 and going forward. Both prices have only changed by 1 and 2% respectively, and bring back our argument that non-woven prices help to reduce volatility in our portfolio, while generally trading at a slight discount to textile in boom phases. Both viscose and tensile volumes were at historic record levels in Q3 in the non-wovens arena, helped by the new capacities in Mobile, Alabama, and the LNF China's Line 3. Now, turning to slide 10 and the premiums of our specialty fibers over standard viscose, it is quite obvious that the higher profitability of our modal and tensile fibers prevail. As mentioned, there is an obvious need for a further tensile price adjustment in Q4. Key for the Q4 fiber price, however, is the question at what level viscose is going to settle. Not a lot to be added to the Q3 financials on what Peter already mentioned. Slide 11 gives you the Q3 EBITDA margin of 17.4%, which is at the first quarter level of 17.6%, but below the second quarter's level of 18.4%. The 8 cent average fiber price differential between Q1 and Q3 is partially offset by the higher sales volume when comparing Q3 EBITDA with Q1. Our solid financials, as shown on slide 12, prove more and more of a competitive advantage. Peter has already mentioned this. A nearly 50% equity ratio combined with a net gearing of only about 25% and more than €500 million of liquidity will help us to weather the storm better than most of our competitors. The liquidity cushion will be further enhanced in Q4 by adding 200 million euros from a kind of German private placement, as we've described it on slide 13. This German private placement is a so-called Schuldschein. We have collected this substantial amount of money from 45 institutional lenders, predominantly German savings banks and insurers. The average interest rate for this average six-year money currently stands at 2.55%, and more than half of the volume is fixed. You see the details on the chart. This is attractive for the lenders compared to the interest rates being paid by the German Bund or other lenders, and it is certainly also attractive for us. Let me now turn to my last slide, slide 14, and only mention for the records. As flagged in our half-year results presentation, our nine-month tax rate is back to where it has been last year, at approximately 22%. This is owed to the favorable tax group arrangement with our majority shareholder, BNC, which gave us a net tax benefit of around 10 million euro, bringing our Q3 tax rates down to only slightly more than 10%. And with this, I hand back to Peter for the Q4 and full year outlook.
Okay, now we come to slide 15. Let me now come to the outlook. Of course, we confirm our guidance from August 2012 for the full year of 2012 with sales of at approximately 2.1, just a little bit down to 2.1 to 2.15. An EBITDA of approximately 350 to 400 million, and an EBIT of approximately 240 to 290 million euro. CapEx should be at approximately 325. I think it works out very fine with the figures from the third quarter. Our dividend policy is based and continues to be based on approximately 25% of consolidated net income to be distributed to our shareholders. Tax rate is expected, as Thomas already worked out, between 22 and 24%. What we see from the current macroeconomic environment is that the consolidation of the global fiber market continues. The textile pipeline is well filled, much, much more filled than last year due to limited dynamics provided by private consumption, particularly in Europe and US, in the industrialized countries. As a consequence, cotton inventories, which are currently at a disproportionately high level, as I mentioned, 65%+, will likely take longer than expected to be taken up by the market. As a result of the current difficult market environment, and we expect decreasing Q4 average fiber price to around 185 euro per kilo, we are likely to only reach the lower end of the range, which is 350 to 400. Besides, and please take note of that, it is possible, and we can explain it in detail, that we will have a one-off in Q4 caused by the potential liquidation of EPG. This is our European precursor, GmbH, a joint venture with German SGL Carbon Group for the production of carbon precursor for the production of carbon fibers. Should this come into action, which is not yet sure, there would be the following extraordinary effects: an EBITDA charge of between minus 5 to minus 10 million euro, an EBITDA charge, a non-cash charge of minus 20 to minus 25 million, and also a charge on the net income of minus 10 to minus 15. And please remember it's a one-time effect and charge. On a positive note, we have successfully started production, very successfully started production on our latest 80,000 tons per annum viscose jumbo line in Indonesia, line 5, and we are confident that we can ramp up our quality quickly enough so that this new production still will contribute to Q4, and as it looks like now, it will do. In summary, the long-term megatrends are all sound, and you know, we cannot tell you exactly when the cotton gap will come, but it is coming, and are in favor of cellulose fibers and the long-term trend growth path. But we cannot rule out that the market stays in the short term quite volatile. So let me thank you for your attention, and now we are open for your many questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we will begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may now press star, followed by one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handsets before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may now press star followed by one.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, lady and gentlemen from Vienna here. A couple of questions. First on viscose, you seem to have a good picture on what's going to happen on Tencel and Modal in the fourth quarter. You mentioned viscose is not that sure, so can you just ask what the average 185 expectation implies for viscose prices? To go down substantially further, or what's the scenario underlying?
Maybe I answer one after the other. I nearly invited you to ask this question. Unfortunately, the visibility for the year end is not very high, but if everyone tries to drive down his inventory stocks, we could see viscose prices at year end down to €1.60 in the textile arena. They should be more stable in nonwovens because the nonwoven prices are usually fixed to the majority by three months. And we saw nonwoven prices even go up slightly when they were fixed in October.
Okay, so that's the worst case, 160.
You won't pin me down on worst case. I don't know what the worst case is, but I think that's kind of as far as I want to go. And if you have a look at the current 174 textile, and I tell you it could go down to 160, I'm talking about 8%. And that's quite substantial after it went down by less than 3% from Q2 to Q3. I have included already a continuation of the rather low trend towards year end.
Okay, and the second one would be, I mean, you share the main shareholder with Semperit, and they have substituted some of their organic expansion plans with acquisitions, and I guess the scale for you is not that big compared to Semperit, but is there, because you mentioned that you're mentioning shakeouts, and I think the multiples might come down for other competitors. Do you think about that at all, to take out one or the other player?
Yeah, well, of course, also this question was invited when we write about and talk about the storm. Also in that respect, China is different to Europe and the U.S., when the first price increase comes with 20 cents up, all these guys talk about making an IPO. And when these 20 cents are gone, all these guys make heavy losses. And so you can imagine that the one or the other is approaching Lansing. And of course, we take a closer look on the other or on the one or the other. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we are in talks of these guys since years. We know them. We follow them, we follow closely their expansion, we follow closely what they're doing on quality-wise, and also how shareholder structures are changing, because shareholder structures are also changing within the governmental-owned and municipality-owned companies, not only in private. So, yeah, the issue of Shandong Helong, which is already a long-term issue since 2 years, and there are others, if they belong to companies which have big other business in real estate or any other industrial business, they can kind of cross-subsidize viscose production. But if these are companies which have only viscose fiber production, then you cannot cross-subsidize. And so we expect that this is going to continue at least for the next couple of months, and we are looking very carefully. We have clear parameters, and we told you that we're not buying an old garage company. If at all, it should have a certain size, and I would say the utmost overriding factor is that buying must be substantially cheaper than building ourselves.
Yeah, okay. Another one would be on EPG. What's the probability for the wind-up to happen? I mean, is it more than 50%? And if so, will you be able to digest these effects, the negative effects within the guidance? I know it's an operating guidance, but just you mentioned that the guidance is biased towards the lower end. It's not targeted to reach the lower end. So question is, will you be able to report numbers within that range, even with digesting the negative one-offs?
EPG was mentioned at the half-year result as looking at all options. We need to kind of evaluate all options by end of January 2013. And should we not find a buyer for this activity, we would have to wind it up. Okay? So as the year continues, the likelihood increases, and this is why we wanted to flag it more prominently than we've done in the half-year. To your second part of the question, this one-off effect is a non-cash effect, okay? It is all due to a diversification that we've attempted in the past. It's all non-cash, and it's not included as a one-off effect in our guidance. For me, it's important kind of to mention that as it is non-cash, it will also be not included when calculating our dividend. So the extraordinary effect of EPG for you is more of a bookkeeping item than anything else.
Okay, and in terms of the guidance, any comments on
it's
that?
It's not included in the guidance. So would we really have to wind up EPG? It would come on top of the current guidance. You know, a guidance with a range is there that you can make use of the full range. So it could very well be that if we really hit the very low end of the guidance, on top comes EPG, it would even drop slightly below. But as I said, operationally, it is of no relevance because it's non-cash and it influences the net profit of the group, but the net profit will be calculated before this extraordinary effect, the dividend payment.
Okay, last one. You mentioned Indonesia, fifth line on stream, already adding to Q4 volumes with the potential to reach a level of output above 810?
No, I must say that's the last question from your side because we shouldn't go into a dialogue. No, we said the 810 are including, okay, hope that the line 5 is ramping up nicely. And that's what Peter just mentioned. We said this in August. So the 810 is including any additional volumes from line 5 in SPV.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, lady, and also gentlemen. I have a couple of questions, if I may. First, it might be a little early to talk about 2013, but you understand that we have to forecast for 2013 and 14 as well. And playing around with the numbers and with an average fiber price of around €1.96 in 2012, how would you, from your current knowledge and your current development experience and how would you see 2013, the average fiber price?
And it's a financial question. Obviously, if we see 185 in Q4 of 2012, the beginning of 2013 can't be at the 196 that was the average price for 2012. We will not guide on 2013 today if I have to tell you that the visibility for the year-end business is too low so that we could tell you where we see viscose prices coming in. So I ask for your understanding. We'll kind of give you a clear guidance on 2013 at the end of March, but for the time being, that's all that we can say.
Okay, thank you. The second question is the one with EPG. I mean, it comes to my surprise because there was on the news a couple of months ago that you're winding it up and I was inquiring about that, and I was told, okay, the effects are immaterial, and it's nothing to worry about, and now something like that pops up. So did just something happen or change over the last couple of weeks that now in Q4 the threat of a write-off pops in?
Maybe we were misunderstood. I mean, it is irrelevant, as I said, because it's non-cash and it's not to be taken into consideration for the calculation of the dividend. So for you, it is kind of, you know, a historical effect, if you want, that comes in. Of course, as the year develops, and that's the difference between August and November, we see that it's fairly difficult in the current market environment to find enough interested buyers to make us fully confident that we will have sold EPG by end of January of next year. And if we haven't sold it, we are going to wind it up.
Okay, understood. Then I would be interested in development of Modar, the current market environment. You mentioned before that it's likely or it could happen that in Q4 you cut prices by another 15 cents. If that were to happen and we see a stabilization in viscose prices, the premium comes further down. Do you think this historic 40 to 50% premium for Modal is sustainable, or could we drop below that?
Being, you remember what we told you in August, that we say that the premium for Modal is something like 40. We're now at 44. So don't let's talk about percentage points, but when Thomas mentioned 15 cents, then we would come, I would say, pretty much to this 40%.
Mm-hmm.
That can really happen, because still we are branching out to new customers, we are branching out to new applications, and it may not help you maybe for 2013, but surely for later. The more new customers we have, the better they can sell these different applications, and the brighter the wider this customer base gets, the more chances are there that we have also then possibilities to increase prices again. So I'm quite confident that before it goes up, it has to come down a little bit.
Okay, I understand, because if I remember correctly with H1 results, you said despite a decrease in prices, you were able to gain market shares in Modal, as your competitors are in a more severe situation. You mentioned the cost and the vertical integration before. What is the current market share you have in Modal?
Well, this is a relative question, because we have a very high market share, and whether it's 1 or 2 percentage points up or down, we have 88 or 90%. Most important is that we see a slight increasing trend line, and that I think we also see in the fourth quarter. Has it been 22,000 tons in Q1 after 21 in Q2 after 21 in Q1? It's 23 in Q3, and I expect that we can have more or less the same figure in Q4, and we have quite ambitious plans for Modal in next year.
Okay, and the last question on your CapEx. You pushed through with the planned CapEx until 2015, so still no changes to that.
Well, I cannot say that there will be no changes. It always depends on whether you get all the regulatory approvals and all the engineering is done. So you see that line 5 was done even some weeks ahead of schedule, and we have a very successful start. On the other side, I think we also told you that the startup of the tensor line in the US was some weeks delayed. We have still some regulatory approval issues in India, partly operational, but also partly politically driven, because there is every month a governmental reshuffle. So the ministers are taking care of their job and not of our submission and papers. So I cannot say exactly the figures, but you see that we are guiding 325 million for 2012, which is exactly that what we told you half a year ago. And there is a substantial investment next year. And by the way, we come up with 100,000 tons more fibers, so that must come from somewhere. And whether it's now 2015 or 2016 until we spend the 1.5 billion, I think that's not so relevant.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Hi, thanks for taking the question. Just two quick questions. One on this EPG wind-up. In case it happens, how much sales would you lose? And the second question is, what is the price in which the new capacity is making a positive NPV? Thanks.
Can you repeat the second question again?
The new capacity, at what average price, I mean, if it's 185, would it be making a positive NPV, or you need prices to go up to make it be positive?
Yeah, well, let me start with the last question. If we make an EBITDA of 17.2%, you can imagine how far prices could theoretically go down to be cash break-even. So that's more than counting in the head, more than 35 cents. So, and of course, we do not expect that to happen. Coming back to EBG, this has a top line effect of something between 15 and 20 million euro. Under the assumption that it is that the line, this was one line, running full year and at full capacity, we have been running at about 90%. And yeah, okay, so 15 to 20 million.
Okay, thanks.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my questions. I would too have a quick follow-up on the EPG and the guidance situation. I mean, I do understand it has been explained that it is not included in the current guidance, as that was my understanding. The lower end potentially would be triggered by, you know, lower average fiber prices in 4Q. However, I could not help but if you have a look at the figures and the difference between the one or the first 9 months EBIT and the lower end of the guidance, the 240, it would imply a 4Q12 EBIT of just around 37 million. And it just seemed incredibly low compared to, I would say, current levels around 62, to just be based on a drop of 10 cents in average fiber prices. I was just wondering.
You are also not going to catch us. As we said, you know, you can't expect us in a guidance to include one-off effects. And I'm not going to tell you where in the range of 350 to 400 we are going to land EBITDA-wise. Obviously, if the impact is 5 to 10 million on EBITDA, okay, you should think it is included. But you won't hear that from me because I'm not telling you that our guidance has ever included one-off effect. I see that you do a reverse calculation, but that's all speculative. And we've given you, in a very difficult environment, an average fiber price of 185 in the guidance for Q4. And so far, our guidance has been pretty accurate. And we are not giving you a range, but rather pinning us down at about 185. So you see where we think that the prices are going to. For me, it's more important to stress that a one-off effect is never part of a guidance, but it is also irrelevant because it's a non-cash item and it's not going to be taken into consideration for calculating our dividend.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Maybe one additional question, if I may. If I remember correctly, also in the last quarter, 2011, there were some goodwill impairments regarding the plastics division. I was just wondering maybe if you could give us a bit of a status update, maybe some midterm strategic thoughts on the plastics business in very, very in general.
Well, you see from the papers also that the plastics division has done pretty good in the third quarter, as well as it had done pretty good all over the year, actually. And that on the background that we have very, very high input costs, polypropylene and polyethylene and PTFE on very high on a very high level. The building business is doing very good. I even have to say surprisingly good. You know that we also have a PTFE business. The PTFE business, for the first time since 2 years, makes a profit. Will make a profit this year. So we are quite happy. Of course, it is not. You cannot compare it with the margins in the fiber business. But with almost 10% margin, it's we are happy and it's pretty fine. The prospects are good.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, good afternoon or good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks also for taking my question. I would have two questions. One relates to your point you made that in addition that on the demand side, the situation is not too good, that the overall industry gets also squeezed more or less by stable or other rising input prices from major factors. Do you see probably in the meantime that this might turn also around and more reflect the market situation, or do you expect this to remain?
I'm very grateful for you taking up our perfect storm argument, because nobody seems to jump on it all too well. We do not see a reversal of input price trends really from where we are today. We have pretty low dissolving wood pulp prices, so they will only go down from this level very slowly. The current dissolving wood pulp price is around $900, and we always see it with a lag effect. And we've also flagged to you that CS2 prices have even increased. And we don't see a break of this trend as much as we don't see that caustic soda would get cheaper. It's a byproduct of the PVC industry. And as it is going down and other industries also require caustic soda, it is for us difficult to see how we would be helped by this input cost. And we wanted to flag it to you as much as it hurts us, because we would like to tell you that we are kind of, you know, supported by this trend. So what you see on slide 5 in the perfect storm on the right-hand bottom corner is pretty much what we see for the year 2013.
Okay. Thank you. And then I would have another question. I think Mr. Untersberger mentioned in the presentation that in China overall the industry suffers from declining fiber demand, which is mainly triggered by the suffering export industry, while on the home market fibers demand rose by in the double digits, I think it was mentioned. How long do you think it might take until the rising demand in emerging markets can absorb the lack or the slowing demand from developed markets?
Give you an exact number in terms of months, but and I to be very correct, I did not mention that the fiber consumption went up
okay.
40%. The general consumption is
10%,
which is also very, very important, because of course 10% out of that is garment and is therefore coming back to fibers. But you have to be aware if the Europeans in general, the retailers are ordering up to 20% less. That's a substantial substantial dip in the Chinese exports, textile exports, which are more than $200 billion. So and if the American retail sales or imports from China are down 5 to 10%, that's also substantial. So I think that would need, surely, in my calculation, 2 to 3 years of very, very strong local consumption to set off. And that's also for China quite a long time. And we did not touch that, and that would take too long. But I would say also very, very important factor distorting the Chinese cotton growth and consumption is this very strange pricing policy the government is doing concerning the purchasing of the cotton from the cotton farmers, because when they pay up to 25-30% above the global market price, the whole supply chain, the cotton supply chain in China, is distorted, and that has a very, very dramatic effect on cotton consumption in China, and to a certain extent also, as we are a very well-known blending partner, viscose with cotton, to a certain extent also on viscose. Not on modal and not on tensile, but on viscose.
But shouldn't that have a positive impact on viscose demand when locally in China cotton prices are above global market prices?
No, because you're not going to change your plans immediately, because normally you expect that this does not take more than 3 months, 6 months, but now it takes already 12 months. The only fiber which is benefiting from that is so far polyester.
But why is that? Wouldn't it be more the closer thought that viscose being a substitute to cotton being the major beneficiary? Why is it polyester?
Yeah, because I said the pressure is very, very tough. Also, pricing pressure in China is very tough, and so they change wherever they can change out to the very, very cheap polyester. We even have seen that when they're going to change plants, let's say where you use 30% viscose and 70% cotton, and you use then 20 or 30% polyester, quality levels come down. So for the first delivery, that doesn't matter, but then people or consumers realize, and Chinese garment makers had to go back to the original blend of 70-30, means 30% viscose and 70% cotton again. So it's not that you can play around that, but for some time it can work.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, everybody. I have a last question on EPG, maybe, if I can. I wonder, the market for carbon precursors should have a bright prospect, or I think you should earn some money in a few years from now. So. Why you want to dump that?
Oh yeah, you gave me the right platform. If you say that we should earn money in some years, and I would tell you that you would hit me, because we must make, and we had a very clear view that we make money this year and last year and next year, and if we are not going to make money in 2012, we said we are going to review this position and this joint venture, and that's exactly what we are doing. We still are convinced that carbon fibers have a very, very good prospect, but it doesn't help us if that happens in 2016 or 2018, because we have to consider making investments now, and even if these investments are not of a major proportion, maybe 10, 20, 25 millions, and with our background that we are going to concentrate more and more and even more on fiber, we took the clear decision that we are going to review this joint venture. That is it.
Okay, thanks.
So, any further questions?
There are no further questions.
Okay, then I would like to thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for participating at this call, and I wish you all the best and good luck, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you for your time.